been going over this teaching, and it's not anything new. I've taught it before. I'll probably teach it again. It's some of the basics, really. When you hear it, you'll go, oh yeah, I've heard that before. And there's a danger in that. Complacency easily fits in here. And you'll hear that, and if you don't stir yourself up a little bit to really grasp this meaning and begin to think about it in relation to your own life and your own experience and your own relationship with God, you could miss a lot of what's going to take place tonight. So what I want you to do, who's going to be crazy with me?
I'm crazy.
Sarah, do you see Sarah's face? She's going, oh. No, you can be just as crazy or not crazy as you want, but I just want you to shake yourself a little bit. I want you to just go, yeah, and get rid of the complacency, shake off the old thinking, open up your eyes and your ears and your mind to a new revelation. All right? All right, now you can be seated. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to just share the word and to encourage the saints. It is good that we are here tonight. It is even better that you are here tonight with us. And Lord, we call upon your Spirit to speak to us tonight, to again pull back the veil, to shake us up just a little bit, that we can receive a new word. Even though we've heard it before, I want us to receive a new word, something that impacts us today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me to John 4:24. Give you a moment to get there. By the way, it is an honor to be here and share with you tonight. This is just a great church. And I if you didn't know it, I'll just let you know. This is a great church. And it's just getting greater. I don't know, that may sound a little weird. But as we've been here, it has been a little over a year. We just feel more and more comfortable. We feel more and more a part of it. We feel more and more a part of you and your lives. There's still people here that we want to get to know better. But you've reached out to us in so many different ways and made us so very comfortable and accepted. That's a great church. All right. So you should be at John 4:24, and it's a scripture we've all heard before, but shake yourself a little. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Excuse me. So, starting right off, God is spirit. Now, that's a different kind of concept for a lot of people, but it's one that we have to grasp. God is spirit. And the key component of our own creation, you and I, we were created by God. A key component of that creation is that he created us with a spirit. You know, we're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Well, spirit is not the last in the list. I believe it should be first in the list. We are spirit, body, and soul. And as spirit, he enlightens us, he guides us through our spirits. If you want to understand God, it's going to come by the Spirit. If you want to really have a relationship with God, it's going to be by Spirit. Because of our creation as Spirit and His being as Spirit, we need to become more Spirit conscious. I really think that's the greatest struggle. Maybe the greatest struggle in the Christian life, is to become more spirit conscious. to become more aware of that part of our being. Because we have a tendency, and it's very easy for us, we live in a natural world, for us to focus on what we know naturally, what is obvious to our physical senses. And we need to overcome that, because there's so much more important in our spirit. I think that because of the physical and mental aspects of our existence, we often miss the very nature that God intends for us to focus on, that's being our spirit. You know, it's very easy to get caught up when you're sick in the pain, the physical thing that you're dealing with. It's very easy for us to get wrapped up in emotion, the soulish part of our being, and lose sight and even lose touch with the spirit part of our being. Well, what I want us to talk about tonight is how do we develop our spirit? How to develop the human spirit? I'm still getting some pretty good ringing here. You can pull it down some. If anybody has a hard time hearing, there's seats right up here. Move right on up. Thanks, that's good. All right. You can develop this spirit of ours. Now, God has given us a spirit. Amen? It's not something that we created, nothing that you have to work for. You have a spirit. But just like you have muscles, just like you have a soul, you know, mental capacities, you have to develop that if you want to achieve greater things. I can, you know, work out and improve my physical condition. I can educate myself and study hard, and I can improve my mental condition. You can also improve your spiritual ability, your spiritual sense, your spiritual awareness. And I think that's very, very important for us if God is spirit, and He is, and we need our spirit functioning properly to relate to Him, well, then it behooves us to develop that spirit so that we can be more effective in the walk that He has placed us on. Amen? So, turn with me to Joshua 1:8. I'm going to give you basically four keys to developing the human spirit. Four things tonight I'm going to focus on. Now, if we wanted to, we could probably come up with 20 or 30 and spend all year on a lesson like this. But we're just going to take four simple, basic things that you can do to develop your spirit. If you do these things, you will be powerful. You will make that connection that we all desire so much. You know, the thing that most Christians will struggle for is, what is it that God wants for me? What is God's purpose for me? What does God want me to do in this situation? Am I the only one that... Yeah, I know that's true. That's the thing that most people desire. Those who are Christians, we understand God knows what's best. And we want to know what God thinks is best in this situation. What do I do here? Well, by developing your spirit, you'd be more in touch with His spirit and more able to discern what He desires for you. All right, so Joshua 1:8. Step one is to meditate on God's word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Good news, God desires for you to be prosperous and have good success. Hallelujah. Beats the alternative, amen? That's God's desire for you. Well, you can develop your spirit so that you can tap into God's desire for goodness for you, so that you'll know what is good. You'll know what direction to take. And one of the things that you cannot do, you cannot develop spiritual wisdom without meditation. And when I talk about meditation, of course, I'm not talking about some Eastern mysticism kind of thing, some Zen meditation, trying to just, you know, go over and over in your mind with some weird phrase. No, I'm talking about meditating on God's word. On God's word. God wanted to make Joshua successful and prosperous, and his instruction to him was what? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That if he would do that and do according to what he was meditating upon, he would be successful. He would be prosperous. We are blessed with an even better promise, the New Testament, than Joshua had. We are blessed with a better testament to meditate upon. Amen? I tell you, if you ever want to get anything great in life done, meditate on the Word of God. This Word should not depart out of our mouths. It should not leave our mind. Now, that's easier said than done. I know I wish I had more time to spend in the Word. You know, if you've got a busy schedule, well, you can't sit and keep reading the Word, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. It doesn't work into our lifestyle. But you can read the Word and spend the time that you have, the ability that you have to meditate on that Word. Take a scripture. I know guys that have had a lot of success with just taking a small portion of scripture, read that in the morning, and then spend the rest of their day, whenever they have an opportunity, to just think through it, to meditate on it, to let God, you know, kind of tumble that around in the recesses of their brain. And you would be amazed at what will be revealed times. To meditate on that word. You can even take a little index card, write it down, and refresh your memory every now and then through the day. This is not hard stuff. This is simple stuff, am I right? Have you heard this before? Yes, you have. How's it working for you? You see, we have a tendency I know that. But we've got to start putting it into practice. We've got to just, you know, take that extra step. We know, but we need to encourage ourselves. The Hebrew word here, when it says meditate, is the word haggah. And if you look back into the original meanings and Strong's Concordance, it'll tell you it means basically, or it can be translated as mutter. In other words, you're going to be speaking it to yourself through the day. You're going to be reminding yourself of what the Word says. Anybody ever do that? You know, you come across a situation and you begin to recite what the Bible says about that situation, or, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I do that several times a day. There are times I get into a position in my work and I go, I have no idea what I'm going to do. And then I go back, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or I just come across a difficult thing. It's like, oh man, I'd rather do something else. But I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. You know, you get a few scriptures that are helpful in that way, but don't just settle on those that we put on the refrigerator. You know, those magnet verses or bumper sticker verses. You want to have a deeper understanding of the Word than that. And you want to be able to apply more of that to your life. If you're not meditating on God's Word, I believe it's impossible to discern the Holy Spirit from an evil spirit. If you're not meditating on God's Word, it's going to be difficult for you to differentiate between the influence of the Holy Spirit and the influence of an evil spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, but there are also other spirits that will try and influence you. The devil will use your ignorance against you. Oh, I hate that part. The devil will use your ignorance against you. It'll sound good, because without God's word, we believe a lot of things would be good. You know, you get those people who think, well, you know, God, I know, wants me to be happy. I heard that. He wants me to be happy. So, you know, I think that person over there, even though I'm not married to them, I'm married to that person over there, that person I think would make me happy. So certainly God would be for that, wouldn't he? That's an extreme position. You know, that's an extreme example. But there are people who rationalize how they're going to live their lives based on some small little kernel of truth that they've heard, like God wants them to be happy, and then they'll begin down the wrong path and not recognize they're going down the wrong path because they have no true understanding or grounding in God's word. And the devil will use that against you. You yourself, even without the help of the devil, you yourself in your own carnality will go down that path. So we need to meditate on God's word. Number one, let's meditate more. Let's get it, you know, even if it's in short pieces, I tell you what, that's powerful stuff. Take a few verses, start out your day with a few verses if you can, or later in the evening, you know, before you go to bed, and just kind of let that roll around. Meditate on what that means. What's God trying to say to you? How is that going to apply in your life? The more you meditate on God's word, the easier it's going to be to walk his path. Number two, go to Proverbs 4. We'll begin reading in verse 20. The second thing, it's going to sound a lot like the first, but it is different. If you want to develop your human spirit, you're going to have to give God's word first place. Give God's word first place. In Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20, it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." That word health there, health to all their flesh, is the Hebrew word marpe, and it means a curative medicine. Literally, it's medicine for you. Spiritual, physical, it's healing. There's healing in God's word for you. But you've got to put his word first. In any circumstance that you come across, we need to be asking ourselves, what does God say about this? What would God say about this situation? What would God say about this thought, this move that I'm planning on taking? You know, there are times when Sarah and I were thinking about some sort of a move, and we'll be thinking, what is God saying about this? We're trying to discern his input. And we don't move if we don't have an assurance. Oftentimes, you know, you have an uneasiness about it. But it's going to be based on God's word. The time that we've spent in his word gives us that grounding, that foundation to draw upon. I mean, we have our own ideas, and we can be influenced by other ideas, including ideas from the spirit world. Regardless of our own thoughts or outside influences, we need to reverence God's word above all others. You see, because you're going to hear a lot, especially in our day and age, we're constantly bombarded with messages, aren't we? We're constantly bombarded with opportunities to hear different things that form opinions that will help shape how you think. But most of all, we need to allow the Word of God to shape what we think, and we need to hold to that truth. So when you hear a differing opinion, when you hear something that doesn't quite line up with God's Word, you need to reject that thought, that idea, and hold fast to His Word. Regardless of our own thoughts or the outside influences that we receive, we have to focus on God's word. We have to let that be the truth that moves us. You see, sometimes well-meaning family and friends are going to try to rush you into things. They're going to try to hold you back from some things. They're going to try and influence your decisions in life. But you need to think about what the Word of God says. You need to think about putting His Word first. And in this time, the time that we live in, everything is shifting. Every aspect of social morality is shifting. I mean, it's scary when you see what's happening in churches. And somehow the Word of God in many places is no longer the standard they hold to. And I don't know how that happens in a Christian church. I don't know how that happens with people who claim to follow and read the Bible. Well, I guess I do know how that happens. They've allowed other influences to come in. Instead of the Bible being the standard, they've allowed other influences, outside influences, societal influences, entertainment influences come in and make those things that the Bible clearly states as, well, maybe it's not quite that clear. Now you, for your personal life, your individual life, don't let that happen. You're going to meditate on God's Word. We're going to spend time thinking about how that applies to our lives, what God is trying to accomplish through that Word. Every part of that Scripture is important for us. You know, in my Bible reading plan, going through Leviticus and Numbers, like, oh, man. Yeah, there were 17 bowls of silver and, you know, that this tribe gave. And you go through the whole, you know, 100,000 cattle, and it goes over and over again, and I think, man, couldn't they have condensed this a little bit? You know, everybody gave this, but I'm aware enough that the Scripture is important that I spend the time to read through each part of that, because it's there for a reason. It's there because it's important. It's the Word of God, and we can't just, you know, for our own convenience, say, well, that's not all that big a deal. Let's just kind of skip over that. I know what it's going to say in the next paragraph because it says the same thing. It just, the names change, and that's about it. But it's important. So take the time. All right. I'm kind of off on a sidetrack there. So number three, we'll just keep moving along. Simple stuff. You know, we often think that being a Christian and really succeeding in a victorious life is rather complicated. It is not. It is not complicated. It's really rather simple if you break it down into its basic parts. Now, because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy. Amen? If it was easy, well, you wouldn't need me preaching. No, it's not complicated, but it's also sometimes not very easy. It takes, well, I won't go. Let's just move on. Number three, go to James 1:22. Chapter 1, verse 22. Again, a passage that we're all familiar with. Simple stuff. Basics that we've heard before. Let it sink in a little differently. Let it sink a little deeper tonight. The third point, to develop the human spirit, be a doer of God's word. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, we have a lot of talkers of the word. We have a bunch of rejoicers of the word. We're just happy about the word. But we don't have a lot of doers. Not talking about this crowd, of course. But in general, in Christianity, there aren't a lot of doers of the word. I mean, true doers. We read it most of the time, study it, sing songs that have the same scriptures in them. But doing it is a different thing. Make it a point to be a doer of the word in every circumstance. By doing something novel, by doing what the Word tells you to do. Be a doer of the word. You know, under the new covenant, all the commandments can be boiled down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the commandments can be boiled down to that. You find that in Luke 10:27. It's all getting back to love. As a doer of the word, you're going to love. Think about that. If you want to do the word, love. A doer of the word will walk in love. If you love somebody, you won't steal from them. If you love somebody, you won't lie to them. If you love somebody, you won't hurt them. In fact, if you love somebody, you'll protect them. You know, one of the things I love about this church, it's a loving church. And it stems from leadership down. It's a loving church. It's a forgiving church. It's a gracious church. Amen? There's grace here. Oh, that's so much better than judgment. That's so much better than criticism. You know, you don't hear criticism here. You don't have little gossipy corners here and there. At least I haven't encountered them, and usually if they're there, you encounter them. See, that's not loving. This is a loving church. A doer of the word is going to walk in love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. It's just that simple. It's the fulfillment of the law. If you walk in love, you won't break any of the laws that were given to curb sin. If you walk in love, you aren't going to be concerned about breaking the Ten Commandments. Because, well, you're going to walk in love. To develop our spirit, we need to continue to walk in love. And we need to continue to look for other ways to walk in love. Because we can get complacent in that aspect too. You know, we kind of develop our personality and our friends, and you know, we walk in love in shall I say, how shall I say that? In just a common way. Let me put it that way. We walk in love in a common way, where nobody's going to criticize you for what you're doing because you're doing okay. What we need to do is really stretch ourselves a little more. We need to love a little more. Now think about this. I just want you to kind of toss around in your head, when's the last time you think you did something really loving outside of your own family? Don't answer, just think. When's the last real loving opportunity that you took advantage of outside of somebody in your own family? Maybe it was somebody at church. Maybe it was somebody at work. Maybe it was somebody that you just encountered in a grocery store. We need to stretch ourselves a little more because it's very easy. I'm as guilty as anybody else. Very easy to just kind of go through life, going through the motions, doing the same old things, and everybody that, you know, that knows me would say, oh, that Bill, he's a nice guy. I think they would, right? He's a nice guy. But you know, I could be nicer. And I, trust me, I am not at all trying to put a guilt trip on anybody here tonight. That is not the purpose of what I'm saying. I am the kind of guy, when I teach and I preach, I challenge you. And it's very easy. You could easily turn that around and think, oh, gee, I'm failing. I'm not doing like I should. And I'm going to have to kick it up. And then you're going to get into this works mentality. And life is all of a sudden going to become difficult and hard. And you're not going to enjoy it. No, don't take what I'm saying in that way. I'm saying it to myself as well. I recognize that I could be a kinder, gentler, more loving individual, and I need to look for more opportunities to express that, to express Jesus to others. Amen? Okay, I'll go on. Fulfillment of the law. And being a doer of the word means we're going to do primarily what the word says to do in the epistles. Those were written to the church. And there's a lot of admonition to do what the word says, to love one another, to extend grace to each other, to continue to let Jesus live through us. Amen? An example, Philippians 4:6. An example of doing the word, not necessarily of the loving part. Here's what I want you to do on doing the word, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Can you do that? Well, yeah, you can. The word wouldn't tell us to do it if we were incapable of doing it, but will you do it? Will you be anxious for nothing? Okay, now I want you to respond to this one. How many would say that's difficult? Yeah. It's hard not to get anxious about stuff. It's hard not to worry about stuff. But are we going to be doers of the word? You know, it is possible to do this stuff. It's possible. You just have to be a doer. We are knowers. We are knowers of this word. I doubt there's anybody in this room that hasn't heard this before. We are knowers, but are we doers? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And see, we tend to focus on the second half of this verse. That in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. We need to also focus on the first part that says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. An over-anxious prayer full of fear and worry is not very effective. Over-anxious prayers of fear and worry are not very effective. Because there's a whole lot of faith that isn't expressed through fear and worry. Anxiety. It's easy to believe that we can make our requests known to God, but it's more difficult not to worry, not to be anxious. If you want to develop your spirit, you're going to have to begin to do some of these things that the Word tells us to do. If we look at verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, 4:7 is the result of doing 4:6. Instead of being worried about it, turn it over to God. And then let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts. We all want what we see there in verse 7, don't we? We want that peace. Are we willing to do 4:6? Verse 6 tells us not to think about those things that worry us. And verse 8, just go a little farther. Verse 8 tells us what to think about. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." This is all part of doing the word. Doing the word isn't just feeding the hungry. That's doing the word, right? It isn't just caring for widows or not forgetting those in prison. Those are all doing the word, and so is this. So is this. And in fact, if you can do this, you'll find it much easier to do the others. If you can get this down, a whole lot of life is going to become much easier and much more Christ-centered. Man. You can't be a doer of the word and continue to think and talk unbelief. They aren't compatible. They aren't compatible. Be a doer of the word in this respect particularly. And then my last point here tonight. And this really gets to the heart of the matter. We're talking about developing the human spirit. And basically our desires, our human spirit is going to be able to more effectively communicate and understand and work in cooperation with God's spirit. Number four, instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Your spirit has a voice, an inner voice. The world might call it intuition or a hunch. But as believers, because the Spirit of God resides in us, we've got a whole different concept here. As you meditate on the Word of God, the word becomes embedded in your mind, and it's easily drawn upon by your spirit. Most of the time when I hear God speak to me, it comes by way of Scripture. And not when I'm sitting down reading my Bible. That does happen. But most of the time, God brings to my mind a Scripture. God brings to my mind something that I've learned from Him. And that's the answer that I needed at the time. I wasn't thinking about that Scripture, and all of a sudden, there it is. How did I get that? Well, it's already in there. I've been putting it in there. I've been meditating on it. I've been talking about it to myself. I've been considering what that means in my life. And when you have the Word in you, it's more easily brought out in those situations. Your spirit has some substance to work with. Amen? If you meditate on God's word, it's easily drawn upon by your own spirit. And that inner voice that you hear, that's your spirit talking to you. Now, I could spend a lot of time, balancing out this with male. You got to make sure that it's the Spirit of God that's, and it's not an odd. Well, if you've got the word working in your life, you're going to find that that's not nearly as difficult as you think. The difficult part is actually believing that's the Spirit of God speaking to me. Because we all go, I don't know, is that you, God? I think He wants me to do this, but I don't know. And we delay, and we try to rationalize, and we come up with other way, well, God, if that really is you, then do this. We throw out that fleece instead of just doing what the Spirit of God is leading us to do, what our spirit is prompting us to do as a result of our relationship with Him. Your newborn spirit has within it the life and nature of God. Do you understand that? Your spirit was dead, but Christ came into your life and now it's alive. That spirit you have has that nature of God within it. It's going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. God communicates with you through your spirit. That's why it's important for us to develop our spirit. If that part of you is dormant, you don't access it. I tell you what, you really have a very mechanical Christian life. You can follow all the rules. You can do all the things that are considered Christian-y, right? You can have all kinds of religion, and that really is what a lot of religion is. It's just everything but spirit. But we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk by the Spirit. We want to have the Spirit active in our lives. Oh man, do we ever. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord." Ooh. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. You want that spirit to be bright. You want it to be able to guide your path. We all need to learn to obey the voice of our spirit. Of course, if you're not accustomed to hearing the voice of the Spirit, it's not easy at first. It does require some exercise, so to speak. It does take a little bit of time to develop and recognize when it's the Spirit speaking and when it's not. You know, your own thoughts and your own carnality can get caught up in there if you're not really involved in the Word. John 10:27. Let's look at that. I always think about this when I think I don't know what to do. And when people come and they might ask, you know, I don't know what I should do. I think maybe I should do this. I think God is telling me this, but I don't really know. Well, this gives me encouragement. John 10:27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You have the ability to hear the voice of God. It's going to come by His Spirit to your spirit. And if you're His sheep, and I believe everybody here is, as far as I can tell, as far as I know, then you can have confidence in being able to hear His voice. So we need to act upon it. Instead of waiting, instead of trying to rationalize it in our own minds, we need to be more proactive. I believe the Spirit of God is saying this. I'll move ahead. Now, if it's some huge, dramatic change in your life, get good counsel. You know, there are elders, there are people who have a good spiritual foundation, you can run it by them. They can, you know, they can let you know, "Well, I think that's something that I think is God speaking to you." And we don't always know. You know, sometimes people come, "Well, what do you think?" "I think this is it." And it's, "Well, I can't really tell you." That's one of those things you're going to have God. But I can tell you, if you came to me with some really goofball, harebrained, unscriptural idea, I'd be happy to say, "I think we should sit back and take a look at what the Scriptures say about that." You know, so sometimes it's good to get good counsel. When Sarah and I were going to move up to Wisconsin in this harebrained idea to start a church in a little town not known by most, we felt for sure God had spoken this to us. We had, you know, and if you know our testimony, God spoke to me about it 3 or 4 years before He spoke to Sarah about it, and I never spoke to her about it, and she had real hesitancy when she felt God was speaking to her about it to even tell me about it, because she figured I would think she was crazy. But when we finally got together and revealed, oh, God is speaking the same thing to each of us, what did we do? We called a pastor. I said, "Let's have lunch. We want to talk to you about this thing we believe God is leading us to." Because that was a big move. That was a very big deal. And so, I tell you, we began to move in that direction. You know, when we discovered that both of us were on the same page there, that the Spirit of God had revealed this to two people in totally different circumstances, and it fit, well, we began to immediately move in that direction. But we also made sure we had good counsel, because it was such a big deal. It was such a life-changing event. We wanted to make sure, okay, well, we're not just going off the deep end here. There is some basis for this. And the pastor that we met with, he thought it was a good thing. It was one of those things, too, where he said, you know, he had to say, well, I can't tell you absolutely for sure that I heard God speak anything, but it sounds like you guys are on the right track. And I'm sure if it didn't, this particular pastor, he would have said, you guys are nuts. You're going to stop that right now. Quit doing that. Some of you may know him. Anybody here know Pastor Jimmy Bratcher? Yeah, Pastor Ben does. Well, I mentioned that because he comes, yeah, Amy does. He comes to this area often, several times a year, to Green Bay. He's friends with Pastor Mark Gunger, and they do music stuff together. And so I thought somebody might have known him. But anyway, so, if it's a big deal, well, get some good counsel. But in any case, begin to move in that direction instead of just waiting and see, well, maybe God will nudge me some more, or maybe I'll just put that off until next week. As soon as you sense the Spirit speaking to you, begin to act on it. And the more you do that, the more confident you'll get, because you'll be surprised, you'll surprise yourself. That thing that you questioned, whether that was God or not, all of a sudden, holy cow, I can't believe that happened the way it did. That was God. And the next time, it'll be that much easier to move ahead and to step into faith. See, we spend so much time being cautious, I think we miss a lot of the opportunities that God puts ahead of us. Let me share a couple of other thoughts here. In conclusion, if you meditate on God's word, if you put God's word first, if you become a doer of the word and you instantly obey the voice of the Spirit, you will receive guidance. And I believe you can always get the answer that you need when it's time for you to make a decision. Last scripture we're going to hit tonight, Romans 8:14. Again, familiar to you, but let it sink a little deeper tonight. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God and daughters. Amen? So, develop your spirit. Don't allow it to just sit in idle all the time. There are those moments when it might be wise to just relax, but those are rare. We should be pressing onward. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being so attentive and patient. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. Amen.
I couldn't help but think that what a great topic. And my one observation about this topic in general is that it's kind of one of those topics that falls in the lagging indicator category of things. Everything that addresses isn't something that's instant cause and effect. Everything that he said, do this, don't expect that to change this second.
Right.
In your feelings and emotions. It's like everything that's good in life in those areas. I work out in the physical body, but you don't necessarily see the impacts that moment. And same thing with farming and all that other stuff. So much of cultivating our spiritual life is analogous to that kind of a thing. And so sow the seeds. The word of God is a seed and all that stuff. You meditate on it. It doesn't change right now. But over the course of your life, you do begin to just change. Even following the voice of God and instantly responding, it's amazing. But I think it's in Hebrews 5:14-ish or somewhere in Hebrews. It basically says that mature Christians have grown and trained to discern right from wrong. You have to train yourself with the, is it up there? Look at that. There you go. So it's that verse right there. It's like train yourself so that you know what's right and wrong. It, all of this is lagging indicators. So maybe you need to preach this again in, you know, the next season in the farming cycle, you know, and say, how do we do on the last little message? Are you farming? Are you doing what's needed? Is your spirit growing? And I think it's important. So let's pray. And I just want to, before we pray, let me give you a teaser for next Wednesday. I think periodically we're going to do this, and we're doing it right away next Wednesday, because when we did our last prayer and worship night in preparation for Mike Carmody and Janice Carmody coming in, there was some good movement, and I heard a couple people say, oh, this is so good, we just need to do this again. And I feel the same way. I feel the same way. It's feeding our spirits. We have to practice it. We have to get comfortable coming in and praying and seeking the face of the Lord together. And so let's come together next Wednesday for the express purpose of praying and seeking the face of the Lord. And here's the thing we're going to be focusing on. We're focusing on the prophetic. We're focusing on what God is saying. And everyone that comes, I know you can hear the voice of the Lord, but I want to challenge you. Can you kind of parrot that? When God speaks and puts something on your heart, draws your mind to a scripture, can you share that with someone else? Can you get images and pictures of what God is saying about the body or you in particular? And I just feel like it's a good way for us to practice that and talk about it and then pray with each other and just obey scripture. And so next Wednesday, it's that. Now, since we're not doing anything special, we're not moving really anything. So you don't have to stress that the whole place is going to be different looking. It's basically going to look like this. But we're going to just spend the time praying and there worshiping. So let's pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for just the giftings that are here in the body. I thank you for everyone that can serve faithfully, cleaning and working in the church, teaching and helping in areas with kids and nursery and the young people in the room next to us, and everybody that serves in hospitality and welcoming people into your house. Lord, this is your house, and we so love serving in your house. And I thank you especially for Bill and for the giftings that you've placed in him. And I give you praise for it, Lord. He's a blessing and a gift to the body of Christ. So we ask for you to just increase that anointing and gifting in his life, Lord. And I also ask for our worship team and for every other person that serves in these areas, that you increase the anointing and the flow in their lives too. And we just give you praise. Help each and every one of us to grow in our spirit, to grow more and more in our spirit. And in Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Amen. All right. We'll be blessed. We'll see you on Sunday and next Wednesday.